7:36, you're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and thank you so much for letting us be a part of your Thursday. Now, if you feel like you're not good enough, smart enough, or gifted enough, well, our next guest is going to encourage you right from God's Word about, well, God has given us a lot of gifts and talents, and He is with us, and He is faithful. Renee Swope joins us, and Renee is a popular National Women's Conference speaker, a radio show co-host, and is Executive Director of Radio and Social Media at Proverbs 31 Ministries. And her book is called A Confident Heart. It's a devotional, and it's 60 days to stop doubting yourself. Good morning, Renee. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, Renee, right out of the gate here, let's just address this. How can people replace their lack of self-confidence with a lasting God confidence? What's the secret?
Well, I learned the secret. It took me about 40 years to learn the secret a few years ago. I had struggled with doubt really all of my life, although I hadn't called it doubt. I had thought it was like fear of rejection, fear of failure, worry about what people would think. But what I discovered was the source was self-doubt. But I was going into a large event. I had been speaking for years, and I just had this paralyzing sense of uncertainty. I was questioning myself, and I kept begging God to zap me with confidence. I thought that should be the spiritual gift that comes when you're called into ministry. But it wasn't working. He wasn't zapping me. And yet, as I got ready for this event, I was in my bathroom putting on my makeup and turned around to put something in my suitcase and noticed this huge shadow on the wall. And it was mine. And I'm 5'2". It was at least 9 feet tall. And I sensed God whisper to my heart, just an impression on my heart, the only reason you can see the shadow is because you've turned away from the light, turned back towards the light. And God used that analogy, that picture, to show me that when I'm standing in the shadow of doubt, when I'm overwhelmed with uncertainties and insecurities and fear of what other people think, it's because I've turned away from the light of God's truth. And I just need to turn back towards the light. And it sounds so simple, and yet it's truly powerful. It sounds simple, but it's not always easy because it is a choice. It is a turning in our hearts and in our thoughts back towards what does God say about me? What is His opinion of me? And what are stories in the Bible of how He addressed this doubt, this fear with people and how He came alongside of them and led them into a place of confidence where they could accomplish what He was calling them to do, not based on themselves, but based on His strength in them and His presence with them and His equipping of them. So that's what is the secret, is self-confidence comes when we focus on ourselves and it wavers up and down like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But God confidence comes when we focus on who He is, in us and for us and with us, and what He's called us to do as children of God and as men and women who've been created for His purpose.
Well, and I think that the powerful part of each of these chapters, too, I love how you've written this. It's so practical, and it's just like we're sitting down and having coffee together because I so appreciate how it's just so friendly. But the powerful part for me is at the end of each chapter, you have the when I say, God says. And so in that chapter, when I say my doubts won't go away, God says, I am calling you out of the darkness. Turn toward the light and truth of what I say about you. What can happen, Renee, if we can just really, as you're saying, just focus on those things that God says in His Word and that He says about us and that He does have a plan and a purpose? What can we do?
Well, what I call those is a thought map. It's changing our thought map. And that's why in my new 60-day devotional, every single devotion has a when I say this, God says this, and then a promise to prove it. And so the goal is to create a new thought map. We can't just decide to think differently. We need His Word, and we need to identify what are our thoughts to be able to redirect it towards His purposes and towards that place of confidence, no matter what our emotions and our circumstances are telling us, because we have a lot going against us. It's not like we just made up this uncertainty and this doubt. I mean, there are things that cause it, and so we need a new roadmap for our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And we need it easily accessible. I think we need to have something like this where we can say, what am I thinking? And then what does God think? And one thing that is I think relates to your question is what can happen. When we change the way that we think, it changes the way that we feel, which then transforms the way we live. And so often, for so many years, I just wanted to change the way I felt. I wanted God to zap me with confidence, change the way I feel. Mm-hmm. But he knew he needed to change the way that I was thinking, because my thoughts determine my feelings, and my feelings often shape my actions.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction, you know, facts versus feelings. My wife's a marriage and family counselor. She talks about that often. Is there anything that you do to try to keep that in perspective?
As far as my facts and my feelings?
Yeah, just trying to be reminded daily that, you know, that this is a feeling, this is a fact.
Mm-hmm. I keep these truths before me. A lot of people think, oh, I wrote the book and, you know, out of a place that I know this, and now I hope you'll know it too, but that's not the truth. I actually wrote it out of a place, and that's why it's so honest and conversational, is because as I wrote the book, 50% of it was things I had learned over the past 20 years. The other 50% were things that God was revealing to me as I wrote it, because I think he wanted to set me free. And so I continue to turn to the truths that are in the book. I wrote the book based on my own experiences, but also I surveyed 1,200 women to find out what are our most common doubts, how do they make us feel, what situations trigger those doubts, and then went searching for truth. Not just a promise, but stories in the Bible where we can unpack the exact same situation we might be in, or the exact same feeling that person might have felt, and Jesus' response to it. And so for me as a woman, on an everyday basis, I just had something happen this week where on Monday it was a really busy day with back-to-back meetings, but two different circumstances. One was a conference call, one was an email. There were some hard things that happened. One was just I had worked really hard on a project and nobody noticed, and I didn't get credit for it. And it kind of bothered me, but I just moved on. And then another was just an email where that made me feel kind of overlooked and like they were using me to get to somebody else. You know, just stuff mm-hmm. that happens to us. mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I had this feeling that I had been punched in the gut. It felt like the wind had been knocked out of me. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why do I feel this way? And so I went for a walk and was like, God, show me what's going on. Because it was almost like a chemical reaction inside of me. Mm-hmm. And that's emotions feel that way. Mm-hmm. And so just saying, what's going on? What happened today that triggered this feeling? And then let me unpack it with you, God. Show me what's going on. And then remind me of the truth, whether it be to get in scripture or to get into a book. I happened to have a book that day that I was reading to do an endorsement, and it's about people approval. Mm-hmm. And it was the perfect resource for me to read that day. But does that make sense? Just those yeah. yucky emotions that come and then unpacking it, because something happened to make us think certain things that led to those feelings.
Yeah.
We're talking with Renee Swope this morning. Her book is called A Confident Heart. It's a great devotional. Renee, when we come back after the break, let's talk about what it's like to compare ourselves to others and how dangerous that is, but how we can rethink that as well. We'll be back with more with Renee Swope in just a moment. It's Faith Radio Mornings.
Faith Radio Mornings, Sarah Groves reminding us the one thing we know is who we are in Christ, and we can move forward then with a confident heart. That's the name of the book, A Confident Heart. It's a devotional by our guest, Renee Swope. 60 days to stop doubting yourself.
Renee, will you tell a little bit on yourself today? Let's talk about what it was like. Well, first of all, I think it's funny that you took your dog's medications. That's in the foreword of the book, by the way. I think I just have to say that's hilarious because that you're brave to say that out loud, and I think we can all relate to that.
Oh, I tell myself really bad in this book.
Well, let's talk about middle school and what it's like to compare to others, because I think whether it's middle school or even as adults, we are always comparing ourselves.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I wish we had gotten over it in high school.
Yeah, I agree.
But but we didn't. Yeah, I mean, I remember as far back, I think it started in middle school, sixth grade, where I just didn't like who I was, and yet I wanted everybody else to like me. And for me, we had moved to North Carolina from Louisiana, so I talked funny, I had freckles, people made fun of me, and, you know, I couldn't change the way I look, but I could change the way I acted. And so I just looked around to see who was most popular and tried to act like them so that people would like me. And, you know, I just find those, I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely miserable. And it's not like I do that now where I look around and think, who can I be like? But those same comparisons just mm-hmm. follow us into our adult lives. And we often don't like who we are. And we compare who we are, how we feel about ourselves, on the inside with how they look like they have it all together on the outside. And I did that. You know, I'm better at it now because I know how destructive it is. But I remember when I was with Proverbs 31 Ministries. It was years ago, and I was sitting in a team building, like we were on a retreat, and we were sitting in a circle, and the facilitator said, you know, what's your dream? And if you could do anything, what would you do? And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't even have a dream. Like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Like, I've always been what people want me to be or need me to be or expect me to be. And I started praying they'd go the other direction in the circle, and fortunately they did. But I just listened to other, you know, Lisa Turker say how she always wanted to be president of the United States, and another woman wanted to be in a Christian rock band, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was hoping to get ideas from these people, and they are not helping me. And when it got to me, I teared up, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I like to do. I don't feel like I have anything to offer. And of course, we all kind of awkwardly, you know, we were in our 30s, and we just all, you know, this wasn't like junior high. This was maybe 10 or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. But we just all kind of awkwardly ended the conversation and went and had lunch. But a friend pulled me aside and said, Renee, I just want to encourage you to ask God, you know, what are the unique gifts and abilities that he's given you that that only you can do? Ask him what his dream is for your life. Ask him what makes your heart come alive. Mm-hmm. And it started a journey for me that led me out of a place of burnout and just not being happy mm-hmm. to a place of feeling just like I have a purpose and I like what God's called me to do. And this was long before I started writing or speaking. It had nothing to do with where I was on the radio, writing or speaking. I had a brand new baby and a toddler, and God used a friend to show me through a thank you note that my words written had power to them. And she just said, one day I gave her a thank you note, and she's like, this is the most incredible thank you note I've ever read. Like, you've got a gift. Mm. And I had been praying, God, how can you use me? Like, what are some little ways? And so I just started writing notes of encouragement. Anytime I'd have a thought, I would take time to follow through. And eventually I had the idea to write a study guide to go with my pastor's wife's message from a series we were doing. And that's where my writing ministry was birthed, was just by doing the little things that made my heart, you know, feel joy and, mm-hmm. and kind of rejuvenated me. But it wasn't a big thing. It was just the little things. But by doing those little things, I began to see, I do have something to offer. It may not be what other people have. It may not be as big as I hoped, but it is something. And I'm going to give this thing and let God, you know, see if he wants to do more with it. But
And he has.
Oh, yes.
And he has.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he has.
Yay. Yay.
Thank God.
Talking with Renee Swope here on Faith Radio Mornings. She's a popular conference speaker, a radio host, and author. And the devotional book we're discussing is A Confident Heart Devotional, 60 Ways to Stop Doubting Yourself. You know, Renee, we all get to that point where we feel like the well is dry, and maybe we've tried even. You know, we've tried to step out into what we think God has called us to do, and it's just been disappointment after disappointment. You're chapter on dealing with disappointment speaks to this. Can you say an encouraging word about that?
Yeah, I you know, that life is full of a lot of disappointments, and I've had, you know, quite a few. It's easy to look at, you know, my life and think, oh wow, you know, she's hit all these things that a lot of people would want, but my life's been filled with a lot of disappointments, and it can be devastating. It can be crippling. It can make us really shrink back and think, I'm just not going to try anymore. And what I think is really important is to remember we have an enemy, and that's exactly what he would like for us to do. You know, he would love for us to shrink back and just survive and play it, you know, kind of under the radar, just make it through life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we offer the uniqueness that God has given us, that his glory is seen in us, you know, and I always define glory as giving visibility to God's invisible character. So let's say someone just has the gift of prayer, and maybe they're disappointed because they've prayed for some big things. Maybe they prayed for some big things in their church or for someone they love, and it's just not happening. So then they begin to doubt, maybe I don't have this gift. And they shrink back. And they stop offering that gift. They stop telling people that's their passion. Well, when the opposite is when we offer it, God's glory is seen in us. We give visibility to God's invisible character in us in our unique way. And that's exactly what the enemy hates. And so oftentimes he'll use disappointment to convince us you don't have anything special to offer, or God's not real. He's not for you. You know, you need to just get life over here on your own. Whether that be through relationships or eating or addiction or just isolation. And that's, you know, just devastating results, and we never fulfill the calling that God has for us. But what I like to do is to use that disappointment to press into God, to let it make it work for me instead of against me, and say, God, I'm really disappointed. But I want to experience you, something new about you that I don't know. So I'm going to press into you. I'm going to embrace this hard thing because I trust that you do work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And even though my circumstances don't look like it. And I'll give you an example. We adopted our daughter from Ethiopia 4 years ago. And she was 10 months old, and we had teenage boys, and it was a huge life change. And honestly, I had a lot of hesitancies about it. My husband wanted to adopt, eventually I wanted to, but I was hesitant about how much it would throw our life upside down. And I fell in love with her. And 2.5 years, at her 2.5 year birthday, it was August, my book had just released, and we were at the doctor's office, and it should have been like a really joyful time, and we were discovering that she had severe speech disorder and global developmental delays, that her neurologically she hadn't developed all the way. At the same time, my father had been hospitalized and was on his deathbed, and it was just one thing after the other. And I was like, God, I've written this book, and I'm adopted, and like, why is all of this happening? And in that time, I had to press in and say, okay, I'm gonna get the marrow out of this situation of who you are, because I want to see you and experience victory on the other side. This all things together for good promise you have. I want to see that. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, and talking about, you know, here's your book, you just published it, and you have to live that out. Real, in a very hard, practical way, too, at a difficult time. And we were talking last hour, too, about what it's like to be hopeless, and you talked about disappointments. How would you encourage someone who's listening today that feels like maybe they're lacking in confidence or hope or any of the things that you're writing about? Is there a verse or just a comment? We only have about a minute left. Could you encourage somebody quickly, Renee?
Yeah, Jeremiah 17:7 just says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who has made the Lord his hope and confidence. And that's from the New Living Translation. So it's, I think the most important thing is to say, God, I am hoping for this, but I don't want to put my hope in this. I'm hoping for this new job, but my hope is not in this new job. It is in you. I'm hoping for my marriage to be restored, but my hope isn't in my marriage being restored. It is in you. So Jeremiah 17:7.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.